the sky. I want to be more like him and do his blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet him in the glory land.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everyone's faces this morning on this first Lord's Day of 2018. Amen, amen. God is good. He's good. He's brought us a long ways. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're watching by way of televisions, please don't change the channel. Stay with us for just a moment. Thank you for tuning in. We hope we can say something that will minister to your heart. If you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, if you have a question, call the number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to address your question or pray with you or minister to you at this time. Hopefully you get a chance to visit with us at your earliest convenience. If you're watching by live stream, thank you for tuning in. Maybe you're a member, you're in the hospital bed, you're at home, you just can't get here. And we are glad that technology will be able to bring us to you this morning. We pray that you will be back on your feet and here at the worship building just as soon as you can. We're just thankful to be here this morning. Thankful to be alive. We had a great Lord's Day this past Lord's Day, the last Sunday of the year. Everybody was one service, and now we're back to our regular schedule. We had our T-shirts on. We had our thing that we're wearing for the we are emphasizing for the year with all our hearts. Did you see some of you that's coming this way? Did you see our billboard? Billboard coming this way. Did you see one coming the other way? We have two billboards, one on I-10 on both sides, and we've been emphasizing. We also had, for the first time, our Facebook Live report the first Friday of each month. The first Friday of each month at 11:30 for those of you that have Facebook. And for those of you that don't worry about it. You're all right. You'll live. But if you want to tune in, we give a quick report about what's going on for the month, some things that have happened, and a quick inspiration. It's about a 5-minute view on Facebook this past week. We had somebody told me we had almost 300 people who actually tuned in to watch the Facebook Live, and hopefully we will spread the word, and there'll be more individuals. There are individuals who are members and non-members, and that's the idea, to try to attract those who want to have questions and want to know more about the Church of Christ, want to know more about the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and more about God with all our hearts. I want to do a continuation of the lesson that we started last week, and I want you to tune in with me this morning and go to the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and also Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Hear, O Israel, O Testament, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Then in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus, answering a Pharisee who was testing him, he said to him, "You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment," is what Jesus says. And we know that this is a commandment that Jesus has given to us. He said it's the greatest commandment. But God does not make us love him. And he does not twist our arms to love him. But we try to answer the question, how could God make such a demand? How could God make such a demand? Because it is an ambitious command for someone to ask, why should we give God all of our heart? And make no mistake about it, that's what he wants. Yes, sir. He wants all of our heart. Amen. And you know, if you get married and you're a woman or you're a man, and you take that vow that you're going to be faithful to that person and that person alone, that's a lot to ask. Yes, that's a whole lot to ask. Somebody better be serious. Yeah, somebody better be very serious. But we stated that it is because God can do that because of his power, number one, in the Old Testament. He told them, don't you forget who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's what he told them. And God performed mighty miracles to redeem his people back out of slavery. And then in the New Testament, the Bible testifies to us that by the power of the resurrection of God, God raised his son from the dead, never to die anymore, to redeem us from all of our sins, to give us the opportunity to eternity with God forever. But eternity is not free. And it demands something on our parts. And we talked about his power in the Old Testament, his power in the New Testament, because of his provision, that it may be well with us. That's what he told to them in the Old Testament, that it might be well with you, because God controls this world. God can make it rain and he can make it not rain. He caused famines and he caused all kinds of turmoil on people who disobeyed him. And so God can demand for us to love him and to honor him and to serve him, because he holds the world in his hand. We sing that song, he's got the whole world in his hand. He literally does have the whole world in his hand. It is at the word of God that the world is sustained on this. God can say, time shall be no more, and time will be no more. So it's because of his provisional power. But today I want to focus on God can demand, and we should love God with all of our hearts because of his rewards. Because of his rewards. And after all of us want a reward, don't we? You don't have to say it, but I want one. Listen to the reading that was read in your hearing in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 13. God demanded his children of Israel, as some of you maybe that don't know your Bible history, he chose the Israelites to initiate his ultimate eternal redemption plan to win man back to God, to buy man back to God. And he took the Israelites to demonstrate to them how his character, his nature, and how we need God, how we can't do this by ourselves. And he did. He blessed them so. And this is what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 13. He will love you, speaking of God, and bless you and multiply you. He was going over the blessings and the rewards that he was going to give them if they loved him with all of their heart, soul, and mind. And he uses the word bless you. And notice, he starts off, he will bless you, makes it personal. He will love you and multiply you. Then he goes on and says, he will also bless the fruit of your womb. He said, not only will he bless you, he's going to also bless your children. He says he's going to bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. Not only is he going to bless you and bless you to eat, he's going to bless your children. He's going to bless the fruit of the ground. He says your grain. He says your new wine and your oil. He says, and he uses, I know the Bible, we hear the word bless, and we don't understand really what the word blessing means. Because see, the blessing includes a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to see if I can give you a sample of what blessing is. Go back, if you will, to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Genesis chapter 24. Some of us don't know what blessing means. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham, the scripture says, in every way. You would not appreciate this unless you did a little history on Abraham. See, Abraham, he told Abraham, Abraham, get out of your father's country. Go to a land which I'll show you. And Abraham got up and went. And this is chapter 24. Abraham wasn't always the father of the faithful. The Bible people call him the father of the faithful. But Abraham went through some things. And by the time we get to where he said he blessed Abraham in every way, It was after Abraham, God told him he was going to bless him with a son. And boy, a whole lot of years went by before God gave him the son of his blessing. And he finally gave him Isaac. And here in chapter 24, it is after Abraham took Isaac to a mountain and was about to sacrifice Isaac because God told him to make a sacrifice. And Abraham did just what God said, and he was actually about to kill his son because he had so much faith that God could deliver whatever God said. And God stayed his hand. And it proved to God, this man loves me. And he obeys me, and he follows me, all of my commands. And boy, look at it. And then all of the blessings started to flow, even more so for Abraham. And Abraham, now in chapter 24, this is his son Isaac is alive now, but his wife Sarah died. And Abraham, some of you Bible scholars know, he was 100 years old when he had Isaac. 100 years old when he had Isaac. But the Bible says he blessed him in every way. Go to Genesis chapter 25, verse number 7. Verse number 1. Genesis 25 and verse 1. Listen to this. This is after he sacrificed Isaac. Was going to sacrifice Isaac. After Sarah died, the Bible said, now Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. Abraham had 6 more children after the age of 100. And if you kept reading on, I just don't have time, he had 7 more grandchildren. He had 3 more great-grandchildren, and he had another wife. God, listen. And not only did he have that, he had land that he couldn't even walk on. It was so much land. God kept blessing him over and over and over again. See, God's blessings, you can't count God's. When the Bible says God will bless you, you don't know what it's going to include. All it's going to include. And Abraham was 100 years old when he didn't. Now listen to this. Listen to Genesis chapter 25, verse 7. These are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived. 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was getting, now all of us are going to die. We're not going to be here forever, amen. But I'm telling you, while I'm here, I want all of God's blessings. Every blessing that he could give. So when the Bible says that he told the Israelites that he was going to love them and he was going to bless them. Tell you what, blessing means you're going to have a good life. Amen, somebody? It means that God is going to do some things. Now, in the Old Testament, he called out these tangible blessings that you could see, you can put your hands on. You can feel, you can taste. He goes on, he starts off with you personally. First, he's going to love you and he's going to bless you. I'm telling you what, that's enough for me. Well, I take that back. You know, when you bless, you want others to be blessed also. He says, then we're going to bless the fruit of your. And when he says he's going to bless the fruit of your womb, that means that he's going to open doors and create. That's what he was telling them. He says, your children are going to be good children. Your children are going to be blessed themselves. Your children are going to be happy children if you love me with all of your heart. Now, you know, the last week we talked about Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old. God made him a promise at the age of 40 because he and Joshua brought a good report back to the people. And God gave him the land of Hebron because he worshiped the God fully with all of his heart. And I just want to challenge us to don't be scared to love God. Stop holding back from God. Stop giving your last bit and your leftovers and your if I can make it and if I have a little money left and I'll pray when I can to God. Yeah, God said, love me with all your heart and watch all the blessings flow.
He said, you'll be blessed above all people. There will be no male and female barren, all barren among you, among your cattle. He said, not only will you bear children, you won't be barren. He says, your livestock, your cattle are going to be blessed. He says, he's going to remove all sickness from you. Oh, that mercy. My goodness gracious. Whoa. God made all of these promises to the children of Israel. And I know some of you, well, Gary, that's in the Old Testament. I'm getting to the New Testament. Yeah. Does God have the power to bless us? Do you believe that? Do you believe God can make your life better while you're on earth? Yes, sir. See, you got to believe it. You want, see, I mean, listen. Who in the world, why, God says love him with all, and this year you're going to hear some challenging things. You're going to hear some challenging things that God commands, wants us to do in his name, by his authority. But see, nobody's not going to do nothing if they don't feel like it's something in it for them. And I understand that, and God understands that. And so you got to believe that God is able to come through on all of his promises. But you got to know how to get the promises. You got to know how to get the reward. Let's go to the New Testament. I'm going to end on time. Let's go to the New Testament. And I know I won't have time. I wanna focus on the reward. So our hearts will be motivated. So it will be easier for us. We won't have this power struggle to say, well, am I gonna go to church today? I don't know. I don't feel like it. We want our hearts to be motivated to every opportunity we get, we want to do God's will. Amen, somebody. Rewards. The rewards of a with all our hearts living type of life. The rewards of that type of life. Because I'm telling you, these rewards are not for half-hearted worship service. These rewards are not half-heartedly loving God. They don't come if you half-heartedly do things for God, for the name of God. And so make no mistake about it. For instance, God wants sincere prayer from his saints. That's what he wants. I know, you know, we can, in it, you know, most people know kind of how to pray. But God wants sincere. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 6, Matthew 6, 6. But you, when you pray. See, two people praying. One person praying these big old words, using all these elaborate words and on the street corner and want everybody to see them. God is not impressed with our bragging, our showboat attitude, our wanting folks to see us. God is not. You know, you ever go on the functions? I do. Sometimes I have to pray when I'm at functions like this. And I try not to judge people. Because, you know, we shouldn't judge folk. But some folk, you can tell when they're just trying to show out. You know, why would I use a word that don't nobody know but me? And I'm praying for when brothers come up here to pray, brother Spriggs, thank you for your prayer this morning. Thank you for just praying a diligent prayer on the behalf of all the saints. Thanking God, praising God. Yeah, don't come up here trying to showboat and let everybody know you got a PhD. He says, when you pray, go into the inner room. Close your door. Pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, the scripture says, will reward you. See? You don't have to wait on nobody else to pray. Amen. You don't. If you're a Christian, you don't have to ask, but Gary, I need you to pray. I'll pray for you, and I'll be glad to pray. Our elders be glad to pray. Deacons be glad to pray for you. But you don't have to. That's not. You don't have to get a prayer answered because Brother Gary prays for you. Amen. It's more impressive to God If you by yourself, in all sincerity, hide yourself and pray to God for yourself. God the Father, who knows all and sees all, you did it in secret, and the scripture says God will reward you. That's in your Bible, isn't it? Yeah. And I know some of us ask, what kind of reward am I going to get? Matthew 7 verse 11. I'll give you some contrast. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask? Now, what kind of gift you give to your children? Some of us, we give nice gifts. You know, holidays, you may probably gave a lot of nice. Don't you think God know how to give good gifts to us? Some of us, God has been good to us, and we don't even know it. Yeah. Raise your hand in here. If you're not taking no medicine right now, no pills, raise your hand. You know what you need to say? Some of them don't realize it yet. Yeah. Now I started to ask who all taking medicine, but I didn't want to get it all in your business, yo. You see,
that ain't nothing. Excuse me.
You know there are members in the church right? There are members in here right now who pay over $1,000 a month for their medicine. Now, are we blessed? See, listen, God can bless us. See, you know what? God, you say, well, how God will go reward me? Listen, pray as a reward. And, you know, God might have allowed you to miss an accident this morning. Ooh, God, I'm telling you, go to the hospital. You know what? The hospitals, as much as you can stay out of them. Amen. They just ain't no good place to be. Oh, the mercy. Just a lot of things are going. No, notice, I want to hurry. I'm going to get down this list. See, God, all kind of reward. If your children not in jail, thank you, Lord. If you not in jail, God can grant you favor. God can grant you favor with individuals, people. God can open doors. God can approve an application for you. God can reduce some pains that you might have, physical pains, mental pain. God can make your job pleasant. God can get rid of somebody that's been leaning on you that you can't get rid of. God can reward has shown up. God can give us a financial blessing. God can put us, God can, some God, see, we pray to God. God can allow somebody to come in your life that there's a special relationship. See, but you got to believe God. Yeah, you got to believe God. Well, he can bless us. Notice this. The rewards of with all our heart living. With all our heart living. Sincerity. How about generous giving? Generous giving. Listen to what the scripture says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over shall men give into your book. Now notice, this particular passage is saying this. This is a principle. It's the principle that if you're a child, if you learn the ministry of giving and giving from your heart, he says, these blessings would not only come from God, they're going to come from other people. I want you to read it in all your translations. Notice what he says. He says, this is the King translation, King James. He says, shall men give into your, you learn how to give with a sincere heart. He says, God's going to bless you, but other folk going to bless you. Now, I've already found that to be true myself. Anybody else? Yes. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, don't be giving with the wrong motive. Now, then he says, for with the same measure that you meet with all shall it be measured to you again. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I hope this year, our giving. I'm not just talking about your finances, but maybe your finances, our time, our giving to people. is more sincere and is not withheld. God doesn't like stinginess. He don't like stingy folk. Yeah. I vowed this year myself already. I vowed that I'm going to give personally more to the Lord. I'm going to give more money to the Lord. And I'm not bragging. My wife and I, we talk about some things. We talk about our budget and things. And already this year, I said, I'm going to give more money to God. I'm not telling you what I'm giving, but I've already done it this year already. Because you know why? I love God. I'm telling you, God been good. You can't be a God giving. Well, yeah, you just trying to put us in a guilt trip. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to. I want my children grown, but I want them to be blessed. Some more, they need some blessings. Yours need some blessings? I don't want to hinder none of their blessings. And you know what? I'm in my mind, look, they need some extra blessings. I need to live right because I need some grace for my children. And their husbands. And my grandchildren. Amen. I'm just telling you. And so I vow to give more financially. I vow to manage my time better. You know, and it's hard being a preacher and a husband to Sister KB. Baby, you know I just had to. And I got to tell you, I do have an ulterior motive. I do. I want to be blessed. I want God's rewards. There are rewards for endurance through Christian living. Endurance. And it does. When you make up your mind, we're talking about with all our hearts, there's no play. Because see, when you decide you're gonna put your whole heart in, you're gonna get some flack from somebody. Because it means that you've concentrated your time, your energy, you don't have time for a whole lot of other obstacles and foolishness, and so you're gonna have to have some endurance through this type of life. Amen. Listen to what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. And I know that's hard for us to visualize. It's hard for me to visualize this. He said, an eternal weight of glory. And then he goes on to say, far beyond comparison. And I did this in a Wednesday night Bible class one Wednesday. I want you to think of something sweet. Think of the most comfortable place you'd be at peace. Whether it's a home. Some of you men, it might be your dungeon, your man cave. It might be a place you're on vacation. It might be where you have all the food that you need to eat, and you didn't even have to cook it, and you just, it's there, and nobody hollering and screaming, and you look out in the scenery and you see it, and it's just peaceful. The weather is nice. You don't have to do anything extra, and you just, you know, if you, you, it's just everything is just good. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would really be nice. I'm gonna sit down a minute and think about it. This is probably more difficult, especially for younger people, because we want to hear it now. We want everything so pleasurable right now. But we as saints, we as Christians, we need to do this every now and then, because life gets hard on us, and it leans on us. And you need to, he calls it
momentary light affliction. But to us, when you're going through it, it don't seem so light. You know, whether it's our health, whether it's some of us right now, you're in a strained relationship where your partner, it's like you almost are dragging them, or they're dragging you. Bro, what you talking about? I don't know who, I don't know where, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, some of us came here by ourselves this morning. Just, you know, I might just didn't feel like coming, or they didn't wasn't gonna come, or they didn't want you to come. And it's a strain, even in the house. But don't you allow anyone to take your reward. And he calls it momentary, and it might not seem momentary to us, but compared to our eternal weight of glory. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know. Whatever you thought of, whatever scenery you came up, whatever comfort level you came up, it does not compare to what God has for those who endure. Listen to what else he goes on to say. He says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Whatever scene you came up with, it won't last. Whatever house is breaking down. Whatever car, it'll need repair. Whatever person, they gonna die. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, I'm telling you, I counted at least 12 tangible rewards. Let me give you another. I'm only on time. Quality. What about what we're talking about? We're God's quality work. Like you working on your job. Listen to this reward. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ. He said, when you are going away, this will help you on your job tomorrow or today. You going to work and you got this bad attitude. You ought to migrate. Now I brought up work and your migraine coming up right now. Because you just don't like it. Don't want to be there. God says to the saint, to the Christian, first of all, do your job. If you're supposed to be sorting mail and taking out mail, sort the mail, put it in the right slot, take the mail, put it in the boxes. Don't throw it in the dumpster. Do your job. No, listen. No, hold on. Don't miss this. He said, do it what? How? Do it heartily. Do it with the right attitude. Sing a song. Look, I ain't singing in there. Don't sing the song. Do it with the right attitude. Notice this. As to who? Do it like you're working for the Lord. We sing, I will work, I will pray in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard. Find your song to sing to God. I really love the Lord. Find you something. Do it like you're working for God. Yeah. Help us, Lord Jesus. Because that's who we're working for, isn't it? That's what the scriptures say. Yeah. Now, you're not working for the man. You're not working for that person. And say, but listen, and you, now, the scriptures say you will receive the reward of the inheritance. See, you know what an inheritance is, don't you? Well, maybe we don't know what inheritance is. We have never got one before. I haven't either. But see, listen. An inheritance is something you didn't earn.
you didn't work for. Well, excuse me, it's something that you didn't have nothing to do with. If I leave my children some money, if I go before they do, if I leave them some money in a policy or whatever, they ought to be happy, shouldn't they?
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to leave them nothing yet, so. Woo, but I tell you, I like the idea of inheritance. See, notice this. With all our heart. See, the word heart is the Greek word kardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. The Hebrew word leb, L-E-B, pronunciation. And see, the reward comes to the do it heartily. See, you know, some of them, I'm going to do my job. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I do it all the time. I ain't. But your heart. See, our heart not only puts us in favor with God, it also beacons a light to others who see us. Because God is always trying to reach others for him. And when somebody see you, how in the world, this woman, she always come in here cheering and happy and singing and this gruesome job, she always come in. Hi, what's wrong with her? Ain't nothing wrong with her. She just love God. She's serving God. You need to find out what she got. I'm going to give you one more. I have about 10 more. Can you take 10? No, I'm 10. Let me give you another one. We're talking about rewards, and this is not all of them. How about, let's see, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. How about compassion for the needy? Listen to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, this is at judgment time. Now, don't misunderstand this one. This is at judgment time. Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Now, we talked about blessings, but we didn't get into all the blessings. He says, come to you. Now, that's what I want to hear. That's what you want to hear at judgment time. You are blessed of my Father. That's what he says. He says, inherit the characters again, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, no, I wish I need to do a lesson on the kingdom of God, because, see, you got to understand God, the whole world is God's kingdom. I mean, the kingdom is where God reigns. The whole world is God's kingdom. But we are in the kingdom of God here on earth, which is his church. And if you're not in the kingdom, you have no blessings from God in the end. But even those of us that are in the kingdom of God on earth, there is an extension of this kingdom of God on earth, and that's in heaven. And he says this. He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. In prison and you came to me. That's who the reward is for. You know, this is at judgment time, and you know, some of us, we got it all twisted. You think that getting to heaven going to require you to come to worship service every Sunday. I go to church every Sunday. That's good. Bible says, forsake not ourselves of coming together. That's what the scripture says. And God wants us to worship him on the first day of the week when we take the Lord's Supper. But saints, Christians, that's not all. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart for people? We got some good Christians. We got good saints in the church. We got good people in the church, people that know the Bible, know that scripture.
if I give a wrong scripture, some of them come up to me, but Gary, that was wrong. That wasn't the right verse. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Pray for me. I do get them wrong sometimes. I don't mind if somebody come say, you know, I don't mind, but don't go tell somebody else. Amen. Well, Gary, he just dumb. He don't never get nothing right. You don't love me? Well, let me not get on. This is the ultimate reward. With God, Christians must have a heart for people. Must. And you know, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be an elder. And you know what? Sometimes I say, I wish I wasn't a preacher. But my wife said, Gary, don't say that. I'm saying it. I wish I could be a regular. Brother Ray, you know what I'm talking about. I wish sometimes I could be just a regular member. And I could just, whatever I'm doing, if I'm going to help somebody, if I'm going to give somebody something, if I'm going to go to visit somebody, we have a prison ministry, go to visit somebody. Listen, this is what you're going to be judged from. And God has the reward. Notice this, this is with all our heart living. This is where the rubber meets the road. And so I want to challenge our congregation, our body, our membership, our church. Let's serve God with all our hearts. Listen, and I know we're growing, but Gary, I'm just not there yet. I'm not there yet. And I know. See, I ain't got to where, you know, begging people to come to Bible class. You need to come to Bible. You need to come to eating words. You need to. No, we just need to grow up, don't we? We need to keep growing and know where our blessings coming from. We need to stop whining so much. We need to stop causing so much pain to come on our own self. We need to make up our mind. Because if we're not serving God, we're serving something or somebody. You're here today, you're not a child of God. This is where we are. Yeah, this is not just a slogan that we're using. I told you, this is maybe one of the most ambitious themes. It's in, all in the Word of God. It may be ambitious because we are putting it out there out of the Word of God. God is required, but God does not make us do anything. And we just remind us, because I've been guilty myself. Because sometimes we expect God to bless us. We expect God all these blessings. We pray, Lord, please help me through this, help me through. And we just live in any kind of way. Yeah. And it's not going to happen the way we want it to happen. God is good. You're here today, you need to be a child of God. You come by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those of them that diligently seek him. We're all growing. Don't feel bad to say, Brother Gary, I'm just growing. I'm doing the same thing. You're here today. You believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind about sin, to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believe, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins. God adds you to his ecclesia, to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ, where we work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. Know that if we ultimately be saved, it's going to be by grace through faith. You too can be added to the body of Christ and work with us as we try to give our hearts totally, fully, to our great God in heaven. If you have a prayer request, would you come? If you have something you want to get right, would you come right now as we stand?
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door.